So this morning we're continuing in our mini six week period of pausing, of reflecting, of just exploring different ways or different notions of the perplexities and dimensions of how faith outworks itself. We all are different in many ways, physically, emotionally, financially, etc. But our faith can sometimes become a little bit stuck in a rut, maybe. Our expression of church, the gathered church, can maybe become a little bit of a routine. So sometimes it's great to be able to think of different angles, different perspectives on our faith with Jesus, on Scripture. Never to rewrite Scripture, because that's not a good idea. But how are we living out and practicing in a real and honest way our faith? We sing these wonderful songs. We can pray prayers that are known, well known. We can read inspiring books and stories of how people have overcome phenomenal things because of Christ. But do we perhaps sometimes overlook the words? Or maybe the words that we sing or the words that we read have somehow lost the impact that maybe in times gone by they once had. So this morning's reflections, expressions, encounter, whatever fancy words we may tag onto something, is really much more stripping things right back. So intentionally and deliberately, there's no sermon notes up on the screen. There won't be notes up on the screen with some poetry we're going to engage with. Now, for those who are hard of hearing, please know we do have a loop system here in the church. And the best place, is on this side, isn't it, I believe? No, the other way. So on this side of the church.
Not under the gallery,
but in the middle, is the best place to hear with the hearing loop. For those at home, hopefully you'll still be able to hear the words clearly, and thank you for the team who are behind the scenes working out all of these different technological challenges. But words. I've been dipping into the King James Bible recently. Oh. And some of those words, I mean, I have not got a clue what they mean. I have to have a dictionary. But I feel that actually it seems really strong and robust. It's like poetry in its own right, how the words are used. And I've been, as you know, using different translations, arguably more paraphrases, because it's easier to understand, it's more digestible. But in modern society, where once we had letters, do you remember faxes? Oh, the paper on those things, oh my goodness. But faxes, the communication has changed so much. And we've seen a huge increase of technological advances. On one hand, amazing. But maybe on the other hand, our use of communication, our use of language has become lost. Now, I know that there's a whole Gen Z, whatever language, I don't know what it is now. That one word, like, I won't say them now, but there's words that mean completely different things that I haven't got a clue. My kids laugh at me. For those who have got children and your parents, you can probably relate to that. At some point, language changes. But even a simple text has been replaced by an emoji. Even an emoji isn't really the done thing anymore. But language maybe has been lost or diluted. And looking at Psalms, it really has reminded me personally of just how much people in the ancient times valued words. There wasn't the internet, there wasn't smartphones, etc., etc. It's such a different way of living that I find it sometimes quite remarkable to try and capture how people were living in those times. So, did you know that Jesus is mentioned quite a few times in Psalms? He probably did. I remember a scholar at Spurgeon's College said, "Andy, Jesus is all throughout the Old Testament." And I was thinking, what? Really? I thought it was just the New Testament. That's how perhaps immature in my theological understanding I was going to college. But if you take, for example, Psalm, if you turn with me to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. I'm just going to unpack some of these, the relationship between how Jesus used Psalms and how Psalms were written before Jesus spoke these words. So for those who may be aware of this psalm, the opening colon of this lament psalm is best known as Jesus' cry of divine abandonment from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Verse 1. Psalm 22, 6 to 7. "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. If you think of Matthew 27, 38 to 39, the two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying. So I'm just going to do a Psalm, New Testament. Psalm 22, verse 8. He trusts in the Lord, let him deliver him, let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Matthew 27, 41 to 44. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now. Psalm 22, again, verse 16. A company of evildoers encircles me. And in Matthew 27, Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning. He took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See it to yourselves. And it goes on. They gathered the whole cohort around him. There's much. There's so much. Dividing the clothes. Then Matthew, they divided his clothes. There's lots. There's a lot there. And there's lots in other Psalms too. I think that my main point being that Jesus cited the Hebrew Bible in the New Testament in Psalms more than any other book. Any other book. So it's important to engage Psalms, arguably all of the Old Testament, through a Jesus lens. The fancy terminology for that approach is Christocentric, where Jesus is the focal point or center of the Hebrew Bible. The other word is Christotelic. Jesus is the goal of the Hebrew Bible. Words matter. Do we really know scripture without referring to a smartphone or anything else? Words matter. Is it truly in our hearts to be able to disarm the enemy? To be able to see the greatest story, narrative of salvation in the right context? The overarching picture? Or have we become just dipping in and out, picking our favourite verses because they seem right in that context? So can you think of any words that really govern our society today? Doesn't have to be biblical, but anything that words really matter. Would anybody like to share that on the mic so we can all hear? Yes, Jeff.
Totally random, but diplomacy.
Could you expand on that?
Well, at the current time, our world is in such turmoil and the countries are set against each other in some cases and working with each other. And I think it's the sort of our ultimate leaders talking sort of thing, which will affect all of us. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that affects the whole world.
Yeah. Diplomacy. So words are very powerful. Vince?
Greed.
Oh, okay.
I think because there's an awful lot of stuff that's going on at the moment. It's all for profit. It's all for making money. It's for that. And I think, you know, a lot of countries are like that. You know, it's not, you know, it's all economic. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's all about money. Mm-hmm. Greed.
Profit. Greed. So that's a word that summarizes a notion that seems to be going on in the world at large. Greed. Oh, yes. Samuel.
Rules and regulations.
Uh-huh.
Because... I mean, the English language is beautiful in the way that it can be ambiguous. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're writing a rule or regulation in English, you need to write it in such a way that it can't be misread or misused.
Mm. Thank you. Does anybody read their terms and conditions when signing up to things? The pages of small print. Anybody else? It's maybe one more. Okay.
Ray.
Truth.
Uh-huh.
What is truth?
Yeah.
Is a big question that's been held up, I think, all over the world at the moment.
Yeah.
And the ability for people to twist truth.
Yeah. Yeah, truth. What is truth? So if you think of marriage vows as well, got me thinking, there's some strong words in there before God. Words are really important. Words have impact. Words have consequences. And how we choose to use our words, what is informing these words? So for Jesus, he cited a lot of the Hebrew text, and particularly in the Psalms, because he knew that these words were used and these stories were told. And there's that synergy. People understood. The Bible isn't just the New Testament. It's the whole book. It's the whole Old Testament and New. And I really want to encourage all of us, myself hugely included, is to come back to reading scripture. I'm going to challenge myself to start to really learn scripture like I used to. Now it's become too easy just to search. I'll give you a real example. So I'm thinking, okay, what does the Bible say about studying God's word? Quick search, done. There, hey, brilliant. It's all there for you. And in the world of AI, has anybody, I won't put the preachers on the spot, but sometimes you think, oh, I'm just so tired. And you know what? You could put into ChatGPT or whatever it may be, and within seconds, it's written out a whole thing for you. Now, I haven't done that. I've done it once to wind my mate up in the previous church because he owns basically an AI company and works with big clients because he got me. He said, Andy, I've written this amazing new song. And I was like, it sounds good, but there's something not quite right there. And he goes, oh, it was AI. I'm going to get you back. And I said to him, you know, that whole sermon was written by AI. He's like, no, I didn't realize. But it's so easy, more than ever before, these days. Are we really making the effort, setting aside time to intentionally discern God's heart? Truth. What really is truth? And we can have so many things we are doing, juggling, saying yes to, Because if we really want to, it's easier than ever before to live in instant. Whereas perhaps once before, one thing in the day was enough. Okay, I know there's that. I need to get there. I need to think about how long it would take. And then I'm going to really invest in this and do it really, really well. So I think Psalms, there are many examples of laments, as we've touched on. But it's to remember that it's not a separate collection of books. It's one book that relates to a much bigger picture. And I find it interesting that Jesus himself cited Psalms more than any other Hebrew text. Something in that. Now, I would encourage all of us to delve a bit deeper, to not be pick and choose the best texts, but to be able to really study and learn. Because when people ask us questions, what is truth? What kind of answer can we give? Is it, wait a minute, oh, we just need to... Just wait a minute. Oh, yes, what I think it's this. Do we really know in our hearts what truth is? Our convictions. So as a response, it's a very... That message perhaps wasn't what I had planned, actually. But I think it's okay to be how it's gone. It's happened now, it's in the past. But as a response, we have these encounter moments. We've had artwork, we've had music, we've had whatever things we've had, all the chairs, different discussions last week, looking at Psalms, the more difficult Psalms that, ooh. But for us to be able to hear an original pieces of work that has been written, that is a original psalm, if you wanted to categorize it, and in a prayer as well. So Mark's going to come. I don't know if you know this, but Mark writes a lot of poetry and plans and ideas. He is oozing ideas. So Mark's going to come and read a psalm. He made it really clear that he hasn't just rejigged a psalm, because that's dangerous scripturally, but it's come from a very honest place, reflection. And then I'm going to read, so there's first one, I'm going to read another one he's written. I haven't read it yet. I intentionally have said I don't want to know what it is. I'm going to read it in the moment. So hopefully it's healthy and honourable. And
well, if it is, I'll soon find out.
Yeah, you'll soon find out. No, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, this is just, it's not meant to be any kind of interpretation or translation in any way, shape or form. So don't reach for the pitchforks and torches. It's just meant to convey the essence of the original psalm. My love for you, Lord, is of the kind that... Oh, it's Psalm 18, by the way, based on Psalm 18. My love for you, Lord, is of the kind that puts its hope in you, my Saviour, who lifts me up. My Saviour is the foundation on which I stand, the battlements where I take refuge. My Saviour is a great boulder where I hide. This is the armour that encases me. The assurance from his salvation is my strength, the castle keep where the Lord has placed me. My voice rang out to praise his name, and he carried me aloft, far away from those who would do me harm. The grave had me in its grasp. the waves of despair rising all around me. Up to my lips they came, threatening to drown me in hopelessness. The grave had me in its grasp, an avalanche of suffocating soil pouring down on me as I came face to face with death. Because I was in great anguish, I called out for a saviour. I called out to him I did not know. He saw me and heard the voice of someone crying out with a last breath. He did not disappoint. His ears were not closed to the broken heart that longed for life instead of death. Everything was shaken. All the weak foundations crumbled at his command, and nothing was left standing. His passion arose. Like an inferno, his word came forth, like a tidal wave that sweeps all before it. From light he came to darkness and trampled it under his feet. He flew faster than any machine could fly, faster than any wind can blow. Out of heaven he came, though quietly, like a soaring eagle you could see but could not hear. He took upon himself our sins. For us, he allowed death to lick at his heels. The power of the Almighty One cannot be suppressed, and the sun's light burst forth. He speaks, and everyone should take note. His weapons are mighty. No stronghold can hold up against them. No argument can counter his word. What is in the hearts of men will be laid out for all to see. They cannot hide from him whose word will stand forever. A word that is straight and true, against which only the arrogant would try to raise a question. Their remains lie scattered like broken twigs. They will be left with what is left is nothing to gloat over. The power of their intellects will come to nothing, for the Lord has had his say. The final judgment has been handed down. His eyes saw me. His hand lifted me from out of this world. From a menacing foe he snatches me. From those I was too weak to resist, he rescued me. I was hemmed in on all sides, intimidated and harassed. But he who has overcome them is at my side. He walks with me in the quiet place because he loves me. The Lord now looks at me with a righteousness not my own, a holiness I could not earn. For his chosen one was obedient, taking my shame to the cross. Now his laws are not mere words, but living water that brings life to a barren land, clean water to wash away the stains of a broken world. Like a wayward child called a son, I now have an inheritance gathered by him who took my shame. I cannot say with all honesty that my walk has been straight, but in faithfulness he guides me. By grace he saves me. Blameless I have never been, but my Saviour was blameless for me. His word has become my reward, righteousness instead of death, because his own heart was clean before God. To those who are saved, he turns his face. To those whose hearts open, he will respond. To the humble, he will lift up. To the merciful, he will show clemency. But to those who are unfaithful, he will demand an answer. Those who come with reverent fear, you will honour. But those who think too highly of themselves will learn the error of their ways. Keep me fueled, O Lord, so your light will always shine within me. Only in you can I stand my ground. Only in you is there victory. There is no fault in the ways of the Lord. His word has stood the test of time. In him I am swathed in body armour from head to foot. How can they say there is no God who keeps us rooted in himself? Only in the Lord can I find the strength to carry on. He makes a clear path for me. He makes me swift, and in him I can scramble to the highest peaks and take in the view. He instructs me in his ways of warfare, little by little, building my trust in him. I am assured of the victory as you lead me to. I am assured of the victory as you lead the charge, but you stoop down to give aid to the wounded. You mark out the way ahead of me, posting warning signs so I will not fall into a trap. I will not let my enemies overwhelm me. I will not turn away from the battles that lay ahead of me. I saw my enemy defeated. In panic, he fled from the battlefield. You keep me sustained for the fight so I can face down my accusers. My enemies flee at the sound of your name. You have made a fool of them. They moan and wail, but the cries are in vain. You have rendered them powerless. I fear them no more. You have brought me through the darkest of nights and given me a lamp to hold up high, a light that shines in the darkness, showing the way. When your name is heard, the people react, but those who do not listen are like those who hide behind paper walls. The Lord is our Redeemer. He is alive. Praise him and lift up his name, for he has rolled away the stone from our hearts. Now he will not forget the wrongs done unto you. The guilty ones will stand before him, the ones he saved you from. Your name is the highest of all names. Christ our Saviour lives forever. Who should we praise but him? He is high above those who would oppose you, those who would make war against you. From what you could not master, the sin that lives inside you, he has delivered you. Now lift up his name and praise for what has been, Now lift up his name in praise for what was dead has come to life. There is only one Saviour to bring to the people, only one Lord to praise amongst the nations. You gave your anointed one a great victory. In love, you did not leave him in the grave and gave him the nations forever.
Thank you, Mark. This is another one, original, based on Psalm 2. The politicians strut around like peacocks, proclaiming their own importance as they make their crooked plans. Dictators ascend and deposits rise. We are done with him, they say, as they seek to make gods out of themselves. In their conceitedness, they see God as a rival to be challenged, an opponent to be crusted. Their arrogance, though, has not gone unnoticed, because the one who was there before the beginning of time sees all. Their days are numbered, and there will be nowhere for them to hide from his presence, where his voice will echo like thunder, and then they will know who is God. Yet man still refuses to acknowledge the one for whose mind they were conceived, the one and only true majesty, who will rule from the appointed place of his great city of Zion. The final word is his. Say to my cherished one, he who is with me and has always been part of me, he who I claim as my own, because you are my righteous son, all peoples will come before you. Those who set themselves against you will one day find themselves at your feet. They will be yours to judge and avenge the innocent blood upon which they gorged themselves. Drunk as they were on the power they awarded themselves, looking only to satisfy their own selfish desires. So I warn you, You who think of yourselves as above reproach, humble yourselves. All you who scoff at my anointed one, remember your mortality and come to serve him who lives forever and ever. Come confess your wrongdoing to him who has all authority to forgive or condemn. Appease his wrath with a repented heart, lest you be swept away. Happy and glad are those to have found the hiding place in you. Yeah. Be honest, who's struggling to stay focused? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to stay focused when it's just words. It's difficult. And who's thinking about the food or thinking about other things right now? Yeah, maybe I am too. It's hard. It's difficult. We're so used to sounds and noise and entertainment and big, great, grand, whee. You know, the people who are ministers these days are up front. Oh, you've got to make sure you can entertain, you know, all this stuff. We're not in the entertainment business. We're not here just to create a nice show and production. But it's hard to remain focused without those things. It just is. I find it difficult. I switch off in a moment. But I would encourage us, all of us, to seek God with that discipline of breaking through the perceived monotonous notion. I think the labyrinth we held here, that silence, yes, there was some quiet music playing, but there was that silence of going through. There wasn't anybody up front leading or anybody directing. Yes, there were words there, yes. But it's healthy to have different expressions. But may we challenge the words we are being fed in our own lives with what we listen, with what we watch, with who is influencing us. These words are powerful and they will go deep. Words will create or shape attitudes, even cultures. And in a world today, what is truth? If you take away, I was quite tempted to play some music. And you can create a whole different atmosphere to spoken word with music. Music can be and has been used to manipulate, to control. And we get caught up in the songs and the sounds. And we're happily singing away. But what are we singing? What are we actually joining in with? I said, may we be a church of discernment and try and flex or rewire what those muscles of listening without all the entertainment. I'm not saying we're going to ditch music altogether or throw everything out. No. But let us learn to be disciplined with listening, with words. What are words that are spoken and how we're being influenced? So with that in mind, back to the worship team to come and lead us with some sung worship. But before we do, well done for not all being asleep. I think there's a few tentative eyes that are struggling to stay awake. They're like that. But well done. You all seem to be relatively coherent still. Brilliant. But it can get awkward sometimes, can't it? This is intentional. It's not awkward because of, hopefully, the words we're saying, but it's a bit like, But it's important to be able to get used to, what if it was all taken away? In a moment of a dark night of the soul for me personally, it lasted about 3 and a bit years, and I was going, God, what about this? What about that? I wasn't really discerning or hearing him. And then after all this wrestling and fighting and chewing over and questioning, God, are you even real? Do you even exist? How can you be a God of love when? How can you love me? Because, et cetera, et cetera. After 3 years battling through, it became quite clear, Andy, don't worry about tomorrow. Be grateful for what you do have. And what if all you had was the Bible, your family, and your acoustic guitar? Would you be happy? That's it. There's nothing else. There's no other opportunity. There's no anything else. That's it. And I went, of course that's enough. That's more than enough. So I had to learn not to chase. What about this? What about that? Something else? What's next? What about these things? What I've had that spoken over me? What about? Just be grateful for the things you do have. And a reminder that contained in this book are words that will last a lifetime and more. Well, you know what I mean. Everything's here. And for me, that expression of acoustic guitar was my thing, that, okay, I love to worship through sound. For others, it could be a canvas or multiple canvas. What do you call multiple canvases? Canvi? I don't know. Or whatever it may be. But let's really lean into those things that matter and discipline ourselves to say no to all the distractions. Let us be aware of the sounds, the distractions that are influencing who we are, to become more like Christ, to share the truth, what really matters, in a world where it's greedy, where there's political standpoints, views, where there's a whole cesspit of underground influences. And of course, we are in a battle where the enemy knows, he knows he's lost. But are we able to stand our ground with truth, really? Or is it more sentimental? So I know you're ready to lead us. Time is ticking. Yeah. That went on. But I would ask Mark, in before you sing some songs of worship. Mark also has a gospel message that he's written. More spoken word. But let us hear the truth in these words.
If you think there's no way out for you, nothing is real, no right of appeal. Or if you think there is no hope for you, too great is the strain on your life. Then I say to you, the truth I proclaim, I am here to heal. For I've heard the cry of your heart. So here I stand, tapping so gently, not wanting to frighten you more. Those chains you have that drag you down, they're a burden you are not meant to carry. So let me take them and throw them away to give you my rest and peace, freedom from the curse. Just listen to the words of my servant. He knows the pain that you feel. He's been there in that cell where you are, curled up in his dark, lonely corner, so afraid of the dark. But I have shattered those prison walls and those chains that used to bind him. For me, he has new life within, For me, he has hope enough for all. So listen to my words spoken through him. Because you are free to choose, he just wants to see you free, a helpless victim no more. So come on, don't be abused. Once more, you may think that it's too late for you, but again, I say that he's wrong. Don't listen to the lie that governs your life. There's no condemnation in my heart. To neither man nor beast be a slave. To their lust you must pay a great price. So in tears I plead. Even down on my knees, oh please, would you open your heart. Do not let the torturer mock you, his agents of death and despair. And your will is still yours. I'll fight for your cause. So don't be trapped in this place. Imagine the pain that I felt as the nails drew blood from my flesh. So perhaps you can't understand what it means that for you, I died in your place. If a man is saved by a stranger who then slips and falls to his death, would you say that he was foolish or brave and selfless for me? I am the unselfish stranger. But you are no stranger to me. I know that you long for salvation. So come on and get to know me. I am here and I can save you. So throw yourself on me. I promise that I will catch you and you will be safe with me. The circumstance is nothing for me. The mountain must bear at my name. I stand ready to come when you run when you call. For my name is Jesus, so real today. Oh, so much more than any Christmas nursery rhyme.